بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It was the way of the Shaykh al-Hadith Mawla Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi that towards the ending of Ramadan some stories used to be read, and my guess is practically every year those same stories would be repeated, and those stories were based on humility. The theme of those stories was fana, humility, thinking nothing of oneself. For this is the main obstacle in this way, greatest obstacle. Man progresses and he progresses and he works and he works, and just as he thinks, now I've already reached it, then this aspect of takabbur, pride, arrogance has the better over him, and then it smashes him down, finished. Whereas he was just excelling in everything, he was just progressing, he was just excelling and excelling and excelling, and then he just gets smashed down. So knowledge undoubtedly is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this knowledge has to be supported by the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it gets the fazl of Allah ta'ala, then this knowledge flourishes. Like you have some very precious seeds of zafran, for example. Zafran presently is more expensive than gold, right? And you have the seeds of zafran. Then you plant it anywhere, it's not going to grow. You have seeds of oud, for example, and you want to plant it anywhere and anyhow, then it's not going to flourish, it's not going to bear any fruit, the trees aren't going to sprout out. So you'll have to do several things. You'll have to look at compatible weather conditions. You'll have to nurture the tree correctly. You'll have to attend to it all the time. You'll attend to it, favorable weather conditions, favorable soil conditions, and you nurture the tree by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the thing will sprout out. So the same applies to ilm. As priceless as it may be, it needs to be supported. It needs to be supported with the ingredients of taqwa, with fana, with humility, modesty, all the way. The more the one progresses, the more that humility must increase within him. The more the aspects of fana must be visible in him. And it must be not just visible, it must be a theme in his life. It must be his behavior pattern. It must be something that is natural in him. The more he progresses, the more it becomes his second nature. And this was the pattern in practically all of Buzurgan ad-Din. If you scrutinize their lives and see what was the common thing in all their lives, what was the thing that was common? Whether it was Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawla Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, or whichever other Buzurg, go and look at their life and see what was the cornerstone of their life, what was the common thing that they all shared. And we'll find that common thing was this aspect of fana. Hazrat Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he was still strong and he was dispatched in a jamaat, then amongst the first things that he would do when he reaches a masjid, he'll go and see the toilets, see they are clean or not. If they aren't clean, then he'll put on his lungi, take out his pants and his kurta, and himself he'll go and clean them out. Whereas no, he was liked by the Arabs and non-Arabs, both. All would flock to him. Though you won't find his lectures to be of a very, very stylish nature or very impressive nature. He wasn't an orator as such. But then what was it that captured the hearts of so many people? Thousands of people, their hearts are captured was this fana'iyat. Someone comes to assist him, so Mullah would gently say, but if you had wanted to clean the toilet, then you could have come before me. I'm here already now. Now let me just finish up and then I'll come. So he doesn't make it appear as though he's a very humble person, but he will do that as well. So as we progress in these aspects, ilm, etc., that ilm increases, that knowledge increases, and then you see people begin to take a liking for you, then you have to guard yourself. You have to be on your guard. Then you can't neglect yourself. The moment you're going to neglect yourself, then you're going to fall, because you will have it planted within your mind that, see, I'm such a favorite of people, I'm so popular amongst people, and these people don't regard me anything. They don't have any value for ulama. So you will be all the time admiring yourself. You'll be caught in ujub and self-admiration. You'll be caught in defending yourself. All the time you'll be defending yourself. You see from the Imams above, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, they also, the same thing, that's the cornerstone of their lives. That's a common thing, very, very common thing. Look at this one incident of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. His mother is widowed, possibly she's about 70, 75, some odd years. Now when a person becomes popular, and he becomes liked by one and all, then he has so many people that would envy him as well. So people will try different ways to show their jealousy, to show their hatred towards Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, just to belittle. Ideas just to belittle, nothing else. But they will try that in different ways. So one person comes and knocks at the door. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi goes up to him. Why, what's your problem? So he says, no, I want to propose for your mother. Now the mother is 75, nearly 80, going on to 80, and this person comes to belittle, disgrace Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. He's calm and composed. He doesn't lose his composure. So he says, see, my mother is a free woman. And being a free woman, she has a choice. She has a right to make her own decisions. When she has a right to make her own decisions, then I need to inquire from her that you have come with a proposal. Is she interested or not? See, calm, composed, and he hasn't lost himself. So he goes up and he returns to find this person dead. And Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was an Allah wala, great Allah wala he was. So he says, قَتَلَهُ sabri. My sabr has killed this person. I've been so patient. Allah ta'ala had acted on my behalf, this person is finished. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, I heard this story from, the second story I heard from Hazrat rahmatullahi, although I haven't seen it in any kitab, it's what I heard from Hazrat rahmatullahi. He was living in a double story or triple story building. So one person comes and knocks the door. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is old at the time. So, and he is the faqih of the time, like I have a mufti sahab, he's the faqih of the time. So people will come and ask maslas, big maslas, small maslas, important, relevant, irrelevant maslas, they will come and ask. So all the way, 70, 80 steps, he comes right down. And when Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi comes down, so he says, no, I had to ask for masla, but just now I forgot about that masla. All right, koi baat nahi, no problem. When you remember, then you come back. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi went up again. The knock again. Imam Sahib came down again. But what happened? Hey, no, again, man. I don't know, my memory is just fading. But I needed to ask for masla, but just then when I came here, I just forgot about it. Carried on second time, third time, about 9 or 10 times. I imagine an old person climbing up, going down, up, down, up, down, so many times. Around the 9th or 10th time, then he says, yeah, now I remember the masla. What is the taste of human feces, human filth? What is the taste of it? That was the masala he came to ask. Now, how it applies to his life, Allah Pak knows. That's the masala he came to ask. Now, Abu Hanifa rahmatullah's composure, look at his composure, his calm, he hasn't lost it. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, all he tells him is, to me it seems like, when it is fresh, right, then it may be having some type of sweetness in it. Because when it's fresh, you find the flies and all that sitting on it. When it's dried out, I think it's no more sweet, then perhaps then it doesn't have that sweetness at all. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah leaves, he doesn't tell him a word, doesn't shout him now. You know, this type of a thing doesn't relate to your life. You're not going to practice on it, you're not going to start tasting this thing. Why you have to come and ask me such a thing? Oh, nothing. Calm, composed, and he goes up. So, as Allah Ta'ala blesses you, then that blessing has to show out, it has to appear. That how you behave, how do you conduct yourself? In your different walks of your life, how do you conduct yourself? Now that's a sign that Allah Ta'ala is taking up, He's escalating you, He's allowing you to be elevated. But for every small thing, you begin to ask your rights, and you begin to look out at the faults of others and forget your faults, then really this is a sign of retrogression. All you can see is the faults of others. Well, this person is like this, and that person, this is his weakness. And this person here, that is his problem. So all you see throughout the day and night is the weakness of others. Your own personal weaknesses, you totally forget, totally ignored. The poet says, وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ. You also have some faults. وَلِلنَّاسِ عُيُونٌ. And people watch them. If you are watching and looking out for the faults of others, remember you are being watched as well. They're also watching you. Now you carry on as though you are a farishta and no faults in you, and only people are shaitans. Then remember, you also have got something, some elements you have got. Just you need to examine a little bit. Put an X-ray machine, put yourself in to a scanning machine and you see. You'll find all the weaknesses you'll find. One person, he went to Hazrat Maulana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he sat there. As he sat there, all his weaknesses just flashed out, like how on a computer screen, you know, just press a button and everything just flashes out. All his weaknesses just flashed out like that. All the life, he hadn't been thinking about his weakness. Now he sat here in the company of a buzurg, and now suddenly all that weakness has just flashed out. So once you begin to scrutinize yourself, you'll find. And there's so many things that man can think about his weakness. So many things, you know. You reflect over it, you'll see the flaws in you, you'll see the weakness in you, you see how helpless you are. Look at your beginnings. A drop, napak drop, right? You touch it, you have to wash your hands. If you emit it, you have to take ghusl. You can't enter a masjid. You can't recite Quran Sharif. You can't perform namaz. You're in that condition. Then that drop is then, it is deposited. It is deposited. It deposited all in filth, blood, all the dirt. It's being nourished with all dirt. So that's your beginning. If you keep thinking about your beginning, then you know, all right, this is Hazrat Insan. Today they say Mr. So-and-so, Hadisab so-and-so, Hazrat so-and-so, Janab so-and-so. So, but look at your beginning. This is your beginning. And when I see the Quran Sharif, then Allah Pak repeats this. خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ ثُمَّ مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِّن نُطُفَةٍ. Repeated Allah Pak says, خَلَقَكُم يَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدَى أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَّنِيٍّ يُمْنَى. Again, Allah Pak talks to you. And He reminds you again, weren't you a drop? Look at your beginning, how helpless you were. How helpless, absolutely helpless. You couldn't do anything. Then you progress from level to level, from a drop to a drop of blood, and drop of blood to a lump of flesh, and then so forth and so forth, so on. Allah takes you up. But you're totally helpless. in this whole process of creation, if you compare man against any other creation, I think that the development stage in man, it takes about the longest, the development stage in man, it takes the longest. You see a chicken hatch, and the moment it hatches, it can walk, it can find the fodder in the ground. It can find its fodder in the ground. It can understand the mother's signals. Mother makes a sound, and it knows it must come under the wing of the mother. It knows that. The moment it hatches, it knows it, with birth. And you, at the time of birth, I think the only lesson you know is to cry. It's the only thing that you know. There's nothing else that you know besides crying. You don't know how to fend for yourself, you don't know how to defend yourself, you don't know how to eat, nothing, absolute nothing. That's the only lesson that you know how to cry. So you look at your humble beginnings compared to any other animal, any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you are developed where you can stand on your feet, until you are developed and you can stand on your feet, it takes years. You say, stand on your feet now, you can do something for yourself, 20 years, 25 years. That thing, with birth, it reaches there already, and here it takes you so long. So this is telling you some things, giving you some lessons, by look at your beginning. For your own sake, look at your beginning. You will understand how weak you are, how helpless you are. Then that's one thing that you can reflect about, you know, to understand your own weakness. The second thing that you can reflect about to understand your own weakness, look from the time that you know yourself, 12, 13, till this day, you know, the wrongs that you had got yourself caught up in, engaged in. You were in school, primary school, and in high school perhaps, and then all the mischief that you may have made there or at home, in the quiet or in the open, what you have done. See? There were girls in your class, and how you were playing the prank with them, and how you interfered with them, what messages you gave, and what you touched and what you didn't touch. See? And you begin to think about that, you know, what I got myself involved in, what letters I wrote, and which girl I spoke to, what did I say, and what I've been thinking about, you know, in my mind, what were thoughts I was engaged in. Horrible. It gives me nightmares what I was thinking about, what I was planning to do, and what I did already. I don't want it to be revealed, oh Allah Ta'ala, just buried under the ground, deep, that nobody can unearth those thoughts and those wrongs of minds. So when you think about yourself, then you think, oh, I got enough baggages of my own. I don't need to inspect any other baggages. I got enough baggages. I can be the sniffer dog for my own baggages. I don't need any other sniffer dog. I can be the own. I can sniff my own faults, my own mistakes. So it is just we that we can, you know, we can unearth our own problems. We can unearth. But then we forgot. It's a forgotten chapter. We think of ourselves in the present phase. Oh, we're making namaz and pious and wuzu, taharat. You know, like a hazrat now, we are now. So we forget all the past. All the past has been forgotten. So that's the biggest problem we have, that we forget the past. We think of ourselves as we stand in this present moment. Now, that's the second thing we can think of, you know, to bring and create a little bit of humility, but think a little bit deep. And then you understand the reality of yourself, what you've been doing, how you've been conducting yourself, not only your behavior, but the thoughts that were coming violently in your mind, you know. Or do this and do this. You see a young girl or something, what thoughts pass your mind? You see a young boy, what thoughts pass your mind? What type of stupid things come through your mind? What happens to you at that time? You lose everything. Everything is lost. Or sometimes you see one picture in one newspaper or something. What happens to you? How you become like a kebab at that time? You totally helps, like a kebab, you're just watching the thing. Like a mouse now. You can't turn your eyes away from that. You go onto a site or something. You can't turn your sight, just want to keep seeing the thing. How helpless don't you become at that time? That's present. You're talking great about yourself, but then at that moment, what happens to you? When there's a newspaper, some striptease, or with some porn site in a computer, whatever. What happens to you at that time? You lose everything. Or a love story now. You're reading a novel or something, and a love story comes. Now, it keeps you in suspense and all that, and you're just going through it. Now, imagine at that time, if someone holds you like on Hazrat, you know, you were a Hafiz Sahib, you did our Tarawih at that time. And if he sees, he comes into your room, what will happen to that book? What will happen to the novel? It will go deep under your mattress straight away. That this person takes me as a Hazrat, as the person who read the Taraweeh, and I'm doing this type of things, what he'll think of me? So that side of your life, that side of your life, you want to just bury it, you don't want anybody to know about it. So that's the present. So when you've got so many things to hide, then can you be proud about yourself? When you've got so many things to hide of your own, then can you be proud of yourself? Then, just looking, peep a little bit into the future. How unpredictable is your nature? How unpredictable is your behavior? Sometimes you can just lose it. Over a small thing, you can just use a swear word, vulgar word. With the piety that you've got, and you can just lose it, you can lose your composure. In a moment, just one, 2 moments, you just lose everything, finish. And then you think to yourself, hey, but I am like this, and I am like this, and I am like this. And how did I ever behave like this? How did I conduct myself like this? But I am like this, and I'm this learning, and I have this standing. But in a moment, how did I lose myself? What made me to succumb to such levels? See, so you don't know what the future holds for you. The present also is a little bit shaky and grey. And the past is definitely wrong. So when you cover up with so much of wrong, is there anything in you that is worthy of any praise? So when you think of yourself in this manner, then you have examined yourself thoroughly, correctly. So as the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, towards the end of Ramadan, so this used to be the theme, 1, 2, or 3 last days, and this whole aspect of humility, that understand yourself. Fi anfusikum afala tubsirun. Don't you examine within your own self. You don't have to go elsewhere, look at your own self. And when you examine yourself like this, then the fazl of Allah Ta'ala comes to you. Then one person, he becomes, Allah Pak blesses him with such knowledge, that his knowledge now is nafi', is beneficial. His knowledge is such that it's become a light for him and light for many others. According to the level of the fazl of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he's become a light, not only for him, but for many others. He's a source of goodness, a source of hope, a source of radiance, a beacon of hope for everybody, for himself and for people. So all the way, he's a beacon of hope, he's benefit. You see him, you like him, you're attracted to the person. For no material, it's just an attraction. You just like the person. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just like the person. So now this is now called that fazl. So that ilm you have got knowledge, and that knowledge has to be supported with fazl. And overall that fazl comes in this way. Mullah Ali Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's got an incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and Allah Ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam, do you know how we favored you, O Musa? Do you know how we favored you? So Allah Ta'ala explains to Musa alayhi salam, we favored you in this way. You were grazing sheep, and the one sheep ran out of the flock. You were sheep and goat, very difficult. Goat is even more difficult. So maybe it was a goat, and he was grazing those goats. And that thing went. It went, and the goat normally is very swift, very agile. To give it the chase, eventually the thing hurt itself and the speed reduced. Musa al-Salam just caught the thing. And Musa al-Salam began to comfort the animal and pass his hand over that injured leg. And Musa al-Salam asked the goat, you didn't take pity on me, you should have taken pity on yourself at least. Why did you hurt yourself? So on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy just flooded upon you. It just directed itself on you. That look at the man. What the man is, and then how he lowers himself, how he humbled himself, what sympathy he shows, what love and compassion he shows. So if he can show this degree of compassion, definitely he can be my representative. I want someone compassionate. I want someone loving, caring. I want someone to be my representative who can show that type of love, that muhabbat towards my creation. I won't take a zalim. وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُذِلِّينَ عَدُودًا. I won't take a wrong person to be my support. I want the support for my deen. So I won't take a person who's already off. He's off. I can't take him to be the support for my religion. He must be compassionate. He must be loving. He must be caring. He must be humble within himself. You mustn't be looking or just going out on a mission of looking out for the faults of people. No, he's not out for that. He's on a mission of hope, mission of mercy, compassion, love. He wants to share all that. He wants to share it with my creation. So this is my representative. This one story used to be quite often read by the Sheikh Abdullah. Most of us are aware of it. But just to refresh it, See, the story is not the objective here. The objective is to try and get the moral. And the moral must be established. See, the Quran Sharif, Musa al-Islam's incident is repeated about 28 times. So we read it already once, but why does the Quran Sharif repeat it to remind us? And you find Adam al-Islam's incident, that's repeated about 7-8 times in the Quran Sharif. 8 sipara, then 15 sipara, then 16 sipara. It's repeated so many times. Then again, 23rd sipara, that whole incident is being repeated again and again. Same incident, but from a different dimension, it's been repeated. It's repeated. The idea is to get those values. Like he read that incident of Shaqiq Balkhi and Hatim Asam. Hatim Asam says, I lived 30 years almost and only learned eight lessons. So these are the concepts. These concepts has to be deeply rooted inside. See, it's not the abundance of what you learned, but what lessons you have learned, what you have already acquired, how deeply is it planted within your system? Or is it just now the abundance of facts that you have got? That's the problem in this computer age. We've got an abundance of facts, explosion of knowledge, explosion. But then the knowledge, is it being applied? Are those concepts deep within you? Do you understand them nicely? Do you apply them? Do you understand them properly, thoroughly? No, that's not the case. The example for that will be like two people. One is three-quarter blind. You know, you can hardly see properly. Everything is seeing double. It's not seeing it right. And he went for a world tour, right? The whole world he went and seen. And the other person, his eyes are thorough, absolutely thorough. Very well. He sees very well. And he sees, his understanding, knowledgeable, and he sees things very well. So this second person only seen South Africa, the whole of South Africa, everything he's seen. So whose vision will be better? Whose understanding and sight will be better? The first or the second? First person is seeing is like not seeing. He doesn't want to see everything. Nothing went inside. And the second person, he's seen things thoroughly. Or it is like two people. One person is like a glutton, right? And he just swallows the food. And he's got diarrhea. So that's just going through the system and flushed out. So it's not being transformed into energy. No energy. The other person is eating less, but it's being transformed into energy, good blood. The blood is also of quality. Energy that is also being turned out, that's also of quality. So he's eating less, but he is getting the objective. He's getting the objective, the goal of the food he's getting. This person is not getting it. His system is just being used to pass out that food that he's taking in, what he's been consuming is just passed out, nothing. So we need to understand that these are some concepts, and these concepts have to be deeply rooted, very, very deeply rooted, deeply planted. Then you don't have the abundance, you can see everything correctly. In that little knowledge that you have, you will see other things also, and you will see them correctly, you will see them in perspective. And you'll see every coming day is just increasing your understanding. Things that you didn't know of in that little knowledge that you've acquired, now that becomes a means for you to increase your knowledge. It just increases. Your knowledge just increases. So this one incident that you may have heard of, Abu Abdullah Undulusi, rahmatullah alayhi, great, very great sheikh of his time, looking at now around the 3rd, 4th century Islamic, right? So Islam is in its heydays, you know, 3rd, 4th century. Great Buzrugan al-Din, great Mashaykh around. And this Abu Abdullah Undulusi, he's also a great Buzurg and a great Alim. Great Alim, he knows so many Qirats and so many thousands of Hadith he knows. And he's a man of such a great Khanqah. So many Khanqahs, they relate to him. He got such a big following, couple of hundreds of thousands of followers he's got. So he's got everything. He's got knowledge, he's got khanqas, he's got a following, he's got respect, but he's recognized. The old Undalus, the old Spain recognizes him. Understand who is this person here. And they're on their way to Hajj, so they come across a Christian village and they see some girls are drawing out water from the well. And just around that he saw a group of people, they are engaged in the idolatry or something. And a thought passed his mind, and in fact he expressed it, they're so stupid people. They created this thing out of their own hands and they worship this thing here. Where's the brains? You've got no brains. You know, and he despised. He says, see us and who we worship, and see these people here, what they worship. So he considered it as his own personal achievement. Immediately, the inspiration came to his heart. Do you think that what you are doing is of your own achievement? Don't you know this is a divine gift that you've been engaged in our worship? You've been direct, you have been guided correctly. This is our inspiration. This is our madad. This is our support that you are guided correctly. And for this type of statement that you made, you will see the consequence. You felt that it was your achievement. You felt that you are in this because of your own. And therefore you consider yourself to be superior. Obviously, Islam is superior to everything else. But yourself, you can't say you are superior, because you don't know where you stand. The next moment, what you are, where you stand, you don't know at all. For the moment, definitely, alhamdulillah, you've been blessed with Islam. But the next moment, you don't know where you stand. So you can't count yourself to be superior. Yes, Islam is superior. As long as Allah Ta'ala blesses me, then I'm better. But if Allah Ta'ala moves it away, then I can't say I'm better. Azizi Rahmatullah used to give one incident, that one old Buzurg used to go to a Teli, a person who manufactures oil. They should do it with the hand those days, or a lever, and the lever is being supported by the hand or by an ox or something, and the oil is being squeezed out. So, whenever this Buzurg used to go by this Hindu Teli, this Teli would ask, is your beard better or the beard of my goat? What's better? Is your beard better or the beard of my goat? Now, these people have that istihzar in them. They have that consciousness in them, that awareness of them, that they can't attribute anything to themselves. So that Buzurg should remain quiet, absolutely silent. All the years that he would buy his oil, and this person would pass this type of remark, the Buzurg would just remain quiet, no comments, just keep quiet. But he made a bequest that when you carry my beer, then pass it through the street of this Delhi and stop for a moment at his shop and then carry on. So that was the bequest. They took the janaza and they stopped at the shop. At the shop, he sat up on the beer, he held his beard, and he says, today I can say safely that my beard is better than the beard of your goat, because I have died with kalima la ilaha illallah. See that istihzar, that consciousness, that awareness. If I got the kalima, I got everything. And if I haven't got the kalima, then what's the use? I can't say I'm superior in any respect. If I've been favored, Allah Ta'ala had favored me with the kalima, with a good death, then I'm really favored. And if not, then what can I be proud about? I can't be proud of anything. So this is that consciousness, that is that awareness. When you got that consciousness, then as though you have attached yourself to the grace of Allah Ta'ala. You're sitting healthy now, like this. In a moment, can't they diagnose that you are a cancer patient? Can they or not? In a moment, can't they say you got AIDS? Can it happen or not? It can happen just in a flash of a second. heart problem, you've got heart failure. In a moment, you're sitting pretty normal. And in a moment, these things can happen. So is there anything that you can be proud of yourself? Can you be proud and can you be arrogant? In a moment, it can happen. You're standing here, sitting here pretty well, everything is found, right? In a moment, it can happen. In a moment, it can happen that your whole family is wiped out in a motor car accident. Can it happen or not? Do you see it or don't you see it? Everything can be wiped out. So there's so many things against you, so many negatives in your whole life, that there isn't a single thing that you can be proud about. You can't be proud about, you can't be confident about that this will happen like this. You can't. You're sitting and you're eating well, very well. And in a moment it happens that they say, no, you can't eat now. You have to feed yourself from a tube, this type of liquid you will have to take. I know in Spingo Beach there was a man. Can't eat anything. Just this type of liquid you must eat. About, I think, about a quarter liter for the day. You must have that. That I saw in here in Spingo. Another incident I saw in Spingo, you know, that really shook me up, really shook me up. Man came here, I think it was for Zohar Namaz. Youngsters have been about 18, 19 years of age. But you know, youngsters, they are vibrant, full of energy and everything, you know. And then they have all that, a little bit proud and arrogant, whatever. And he just left the masjid and he was going towards town or whatever he was going. He took a turn. I think he miscalculated, he couldn't maneuver the turn correctly. Small, minor accident, and it happened from waist downwards, totally paralyzed. I see the person up to today, I see him. When I saw him about 3 months ago, still from waist downwards, he's paralyzed. I saw that. That day was about 28 years ago. Now I see him still today. Poor chap is still in the same condition. So is there anything that you can be proud about? Vibrant, strong, energetic, everything in him. Coming from a wealthy background, everything he's got. Everything he's got. And then in a flash of a moment, everything is just gone. Totally dependent on something else, someone else. So when you think about these things and you reflect of the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and your weakness, that it must bring you to that conclusion by Labak, look after me, please. One simple thing I was thinking of, you know, in Namaz, Ramzan, Labak gives a lot of blessings. A lot of blessings come in Ramzan. You say, Ihdina Sirat al Mustaqim, Sirat al Latina Anamta Alayhim. Right? In that, in Taraweeh, you know, you've got 20 rakats. So 20 times the Imam is going to say, Sirat al Latina Anamta Alayhim. Right. Then you've got so many faras namazes, right? So you must make tasawwur, imagine in your mind, that I have got a lot of things to accomplish in this world, a lot of things. Right? A lot of things I've got, my material aspect of my life, the physical aspects of my life, the spiritual aspects of my life, right? The social aspects of my life, right? Then my youth, my old age, my leaving this world, then the life in the qabr, life in the akhirat, right? They're all different phases of my life. And then one is the apparent aspect of my life, one is the inner aspect. Apparently I'm all right. My inner aspect also, my heart must be right. My spiritual side must be right. My thinking must be right. My behavior must be right. Right? So within your mind, you make that tasawwur, you make that niyat, you know, Allah Ta'ala, everything put it right. Sirat al-Mustaqim, put it on the right. You know, everything, the things that I know of, things that I don't know of, Allah Ta'ala, put everything right. Whether it's worldly, whether it's dini, whether it's related to my happiness, whether it relates to anything, but Allah Ta'ala, put everything right. Whether it's the present, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's a distant future, whether it's the day that I die, Allah put everything right. Sirat al-Mustaqim, put it on the right. Now, can't we do that? And Taraweeh, generally, in Ramadan, people's hearts are softer, generally. Right? You eat a little bit less, so your heart also is softer. So, then for your heart to relate to this thing, it becomes easier. You know, you're relating, Allah, please. With your grace, Allah, we just read that you are Rahim, Rahman and Rahim. Allah Ta'ala, you love your servants. Allah Ta'ala, we ask you for your love. We ask you on account of your Rahim and Kareem. You know, you're Kareem, not only Rahim. Who is Kareem? Alladhi yu'ti bighayri istihqaqi. He gives, in spite of the fact that the person is not eligible, he gives. Are we eligible? Can we say we're eligible? Not eligible, he still gives you. So Allah Ta'ala, you are Kareem, you are Rahim. Because on account of your Rahimi and Kareemi, Rahman you are, that we ask you the right, we do everything right in our lives, in our domestic lives, our public life, our dini life, our dunya life, our immediate life, our future life, our lives, our children's life. Allah Ta'ala, we ask you for everybody, our parents, everybody. Those that have passed on, Allah Ta'ala, them also we ask for, that they must be on the right, they must be on the path of the favored. Those that have passed on also, Allah Ta'ala, we ask that they must be also on the line of the favored. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Can't we just make that niyat in our minds? Okay? And if you're going to ask it 20 times in one namaz, don't you think it'll get accepted? Sure, it'll get accepted. But it brings us to the next point also, that hidayat is so important that you have to keep asking for it. Because you don't know, like I say, you know, the insan is such an unpredictable thing. You don't know the next moment what's there for you. You are like, you sit here pretty well. And the next moment what happens to you, you know, to your thinking what can happen, to your behavior what can happen, to yourself what can happen, you don't know. You can just change, you can just flip. In a moment you can just flip. Just lose yourself. What can happen? You don't know. How you can behave. Whereas you are a very well composed person. And then something happens and you just lose it. And you go and smash someone, you're going to hurt someone. Can't it happen? Does it happen or not? So this buzurg, this type of thought ran through his mind. No, this pair of stupid men. What are they doing? Nonsense. See how sensible we are. And Allah Bak warned him, do you think this is of your own achievement? It's our gift, our fazl that you are like this. And he says, immediately that happened, I felt as though something left my heart. Something just went out of my heart. Now, what enthusiasm I had, the yearning I had, and the drive that I had, that everything just collapsed in me. Now we passed those girls that were drawing out water from the well, and I took a liking. And I began to ask, who are these girls? And someone told me, no, it is the daughter of the chief of the area. So, but the daughter of the chief, the leader of the area, and she is doing so menial work that she is drawing out water from the well. I said, no, the father is very intelligent. The father knows that this girl is going to get married. She's going to live in someone else's home. So she must be able to run the entire home. She must be able to do everything. Because we can't guarantee where this girl is going to be married, to a wealthy person, to an ordinary person, to a weak person. So she must be trained to do everything. If she's trained to do everything, she'll make a good home. And if she's not trained to do everything, now we'll have to look for a person of his, of her standing. That will be a difficult thing. He may be all right financially, but his behavior patterns may not be right. His deen may not be right. So he'll be compromising some value or the other. Now this girl is a Christian, father is also a Christian, and he just took a liking for this girl. Finished, everything finished in him. Now he's got a big following, all going, big entourage, big jamaat going for hajj. And here, all the hell breaks loose. So he tells his satis, now you leave me, you'll carry on, now I'm a different person. The thing in me has been lost, everything has collapsed in me, you people carry on. They're begging the sheikh, you know, what you wear, and what following you have. What's going to happen to your reputation? What's going to happen to us? Who's going to guide us? Now please, for Allah Pak's sake, you move on. I'm a different person now. He's obsessed with that love. See that? Jawani Diwani. Yeah? Love is blind. Really, love is blind, isn't it? Don't you see? When a person is doing that wrong, that for that moment, he just gets blinded. Ask anybody who got caught up in some lustful situation. He knows it's haram, anything. But for the moment that he gets engaged, he just gets blind. His intelligence, everything just collapses for that moment. He just gets into it. Then he comes to his senses, hey, what did I do? See? So for that moment he went blind. He couldn't see what's happening to me. Ask anybody. He went into it, whether he went all the way into a lustful guna, or he went a few steps into that lustful guna. He's got the intelligence, he's got the piety, he's got the understanding. But then when he slips, he just slips. Everything is just lost. His intelligence, reasoning, piety, everything is just lost. He just gets into it. And when it's over, then he says, hey, what did I do? See, that means you're not in control of yourself. There's some other control. And you need to be relating to that control all the time. Lapak, I'm helpless. Lapak, you look after me. The more you will say that, you must say it verbally as well. You're driving in the car, Lapak, I'm helpless. I can't manage myself. Lapak, you take care of me. My respect, my reputation, my behavior, my pattern, my conduct, my deen, my dunya, you look after me, Lapak. You need to, a Muslim needs to repeat this, like I said the other day, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is a substitute, you know. It's a real, that's the original, and this is the substitute I'm showing you. That you say, Allah, I'm helpless. I'm weak, Allah, you take care of me. You don't only say, Allah, you take care of me, when there's a court hearing and you have to appear there. Everybody will say, Allah, you look after me, please, Allah, all my gunas and all, make maaf. But today, Allah, you definitely take care of me. Allah, please, look after me. Now he went and sent the proposal for this girl. Obsessed. Madness, you know, madness. Obsession, madness. The girl's father says, all right, you are a Muslim and we are Christians. It's not going to work out. So you'll have to put on a cross on your neck. Number two, you'll have to graze those swines. And you have to live here for so long, and then we'll confirm the proposal or the marriage afterwards. I'm ready for anything. You see, the mind is not in your control. Mind is in someone else's control. So you got nothing to be proud about. Nothing to be proud about. Where he was and what he's doing now. Just imagine where the man was and what is he doing now. Can you imagine? Poles apart. You know, this story really sends a shiver in the spine. Where the man was, what a following, what learning, what understanding. And now, in a moment's time, everything is lost in where he is now today. Those muris that are there, all are gone to Hajj. 2-3 are there, they're crying to Allah, forgive him, Allah, guide him, forgive him. They don't want to leave him. Everybody's gone. Okay. Anyway, he's in that state. They're making continuous dua for him. Here abroad, everywhere, people are making dua for him. And he remains in this condition for approximately a year or 2 years. He remains in this condition. And then, you see, by Allah Ta'ala also, there is, everything must reach a mark. لِكُلِّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٍ. Everything has a time and a place. When you meet the target, then the result comes. See, like you say, sugar sweetens, right? But you need the right amount of sugar to sweeten. You got, for example, 1,000 liters of water and you put 1 teaspoon of sugar and you say now, sugar sweetens, why not sweetening? So you're making dua for Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever, making tabligh effort and all that, right? But you're not seeing the results. So that quantities must be right for the results to come in. The results will kick in, but for the results to kick in, you need the right quantities. Right quantity of ikhlas, right quantity of mehnat, right quantity of duas. You got that quantity and then this thing will come in. So until you don't have that quantity, you won't see it, it won't feature. So that duas, that crying, all that reach the right quantity. When you reach the right quantity, now one murid came and seen him after 1 year. Says, Azad, you remember anything? You've been such a great qari, such a big alim, muhaddis, whatever. You remember anything? Right? It says, yeah, one ayat of the Quran says, if I remember, and everything else has been forgotten. The verse of the Quran says that I remember, that فَقَدْ حَبِيطَ عَمَلُهُ. I can't remember the verse of the Quran now. بِالْكُفْرِ and فَقَدْ حَبِيطَ عَمَلُهُ. Remember that verse. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِيطَ عَمَلُهُ. That's the only verse I remember. That whoever rejects Iman, then his deeds are all null and void. And anything of the hadith, you need so many thousands of hadith. Anything of the hadith? Yes. مَنْ يُبَدِّلْ دِينَهُ. Whoever changes his deen, then kill him. That's the only thing that I remember in the hadith. Everything has been wiped off from the system. The computer has got such a bug that the thing got, the whole thing was wiped out. The bug came and wiped the whole thing out. Doesn't it happen? Bugged up. Oh God, the whole thing got wiped out. Just one bug now. You're so computer literate and everything. One bug, the whole system fried. You see how weak man is. How weak you are. So there is nothing you can be proud about. Absolutely. When you scrutinize man and you see him in a fine comb, you know, you can't be proud of anything really. The more you think like that, the more this should be coming out of your heart. Bug, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I can't do anything. You help me out. Now the du'as are coming up. See, now this shows the affinity the murid needs to have with the shaykh, no matter what he is. They need to have a genuine muhabbat. The type of muhabbat you need to have, one is aqidat and one is muhabbat. One is faith in the shaykh and one is muhabbat. So they say that the muhabbat must be greater than the faith. And you have respect for it, but your muhabbat must be even greater. You have the respect, you have faith in him, you have confidence in him, you have faith in him, but your muhabbat must be greater. Like for example, you got a respectable father, everything is alright in him. But say for example, Allah Pak forbid, he goes into drinking. Will your love for him be any less? Your love will be there. But you don't have the faith in him. Before you said, no, my father was a very pious person, tajud, guzar, everything. You don't have that faith in him. But your muhabbat now, in fact your muhabbat will be greater now. Hey, Allah Pak, please now, my father, Allah Pak, put him right. I don't want to see him ending up in Jahannam. Allah Pak, please, Allah Pak, help him out. Won't your muhabbat increase? So that must be the bond between the murid and the shaykh, that the muhabbat must be greater. He'll have the faith, but the muhabbat must be even greater. When he sees him in the wrong, then he must work for his right. Dua, whichever other way, work for his right. Nobody's guaranteed. Until you have reached Jannah, you're not guaranteed. You're only guaranteed after you've reached, you've crossed to Jannah, then you're guaranteed. Before that, nothing is guaranteed. So, the du'as of theirs reached the mark. When it reached the mark, now, one day it just came to his mind, Allah Pak, you know, this atonement process, Allah Ta'ala, is very lengthy. Allah Pak, I can't endure it any longer. This disgrace and this embarrassment that I have fallen in because of my wrong, Allah Ta'ala, is too much, Allah Ta'ala. Now you forgive me, please. When that came out, then that was the moment of the acceptance of the dua. He just threw all that cross and left all that pig and all that. And he went to as he walked, and he just came across a stream or something, he had ghusl everything, and then he's gone again. Came back to his original self. Allah Pak blessed him even more. More murids, more khanka, more everything, more ilm, everything. Everything is restored again. After 1-2 years, everything is restored. See, Allah Pak will give you even more once you come right. He's most loving. When he's most loving, then he'll give you. What he went through, and then now Allah Pak has restored everything. In the meanwhile, this girl here, this girl that he took a loving for, liking for, Sheikh was gone now, and he's reached back to his khanta, whatever it is, and he's conducting everything there. She sees a dream, Jannat and Jahannam, and this is where you are leading to, and your religion is leading to, and this is where this is leading to. Allah Pak shows a lot of people, guides people through dreams. About just 3 months ago, one person came here. So he says that some 20 years ago, one pastor came, a Hindu pastor, and he's talking about Christianity. So he came to one Muslim, so that Muslim just rebuffed him and told him, you know, hey, go to the Hindus, man. Don't interfere with Muslim people. Sometimes they need that type of answer so that the aspirations go down. So anyway, all that happened. 20 years later, now he says that I saw Nabi Sallam in my dream, the same person, and I saw Isa alayhi salam in my dream. And I'm seeing this pastor around. So now, I want to talk to Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam is too busy. I think he's engaged in some discussion with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and they're too busy. Right? So he's pleading. I want to ask one. He says, "God, quickly, quickly, what do you want to ask?" So he says, "The religion of the past is right, or the religion of our Nabi Salam is right." No, he says, "Definitely the religion of Nabi Salam is right. I will also be a follower, right? And that religion is right." So then Isa alayhi salam is telling this person, and if you want to be safe, this is a gist of what he's saying. You want to be safe, then you better come in quickly. And tell him to come quickly because time is running out. That was the word. Time is running out. That was Isa alayhi salam's words, that time is running out, now you better join quickly. In other words, that his zamana is very close. Time is running out, you better join in the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala helps people in different ways. So she's seeing Jannat on one side and Jahannam, and the path that she's going into and the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, she can't sleep now. She can't sleep. For a moment she can't sleep. And she's thinking, I'm a woman, what must I do? Now she's sincere about the whole thing. So Allah Pak puts it to mind, you just leave the home and we will help you. Now that has gripped her heart. You see, when that inspiration, divine inspiration gets you, then everything, all blockages, all everything is smashed down. Everything is smashed down. And Allah Pak made it as a karamat that in an hour or something, and she was already across 1,000 miles. And she's in the khanqah of that buzur, she's knocking the door. "Who are you?" "No, I'm that girl." "What do you want? You go home. What's wrong? I don't want you." No, I come with a different frame of mind. I've come to accept Islam. Alright, accept Islam and you can stay outside somewhere. No. I want to see that buzurg. No, you can't see. But I want to be a Muslim, alright, give you a place. And she's exerting herself. In that Allah Pak shows her that inshallah you will be in the company of that buzurg in Jannat. She's exerting herself. And she's exerted herself so much, she's about not on her last, you know. And she says, "Now, just for this, just for one moment, I just want to see that buzurg. That's my last wish. And then my soul will depart." And it happened that she's seen that buzurg and she just passed away. Someone saw afterwards that both passed away. After some days, the sheikh also passed away, she passed away, and Allah Pak joined them. See? So, what you leave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will definitely get. That's a lesson here. What for Allah ta'ala, if you left anything, you know, something haram, impermissible, you have left it out, Allah Pak will give it to you, and He'll give it to you with respect. But for His sake, leave it out. Haram, undesirable, is impermissible, for His sake, just leave it out. He will ensure that He will grant it to you. How He will grant it to you, do you not worry about it? Now this thing was like impossible. How is it girls have reached 1,000 miles? In that zamana, you know, in that zamana you're talking of, like it's impossible. Not only you got planes and all that, a lot of other things you've got. But that zamana, how Allah Pak made it work. She was sincere, Ladra joined up, and she died with iman. But the third thing that you learn also, is you see that person, don't despise him. You don't know what the future holds for him or for her. Where she is now, she's drowning in kufr, in the home of a Christian, drowning in kufr and shirk. But Allah Pak had seen some good in her. Right? Allah Pak made this whole thing work out for her also, you can say. This whole thing, He made work out for this woman here. What a waliya she must have been, that this whole system had to work for her hidayat, for her guidance. See? Allah Pak tawfiq. What we need to understand is, initially explained, is humility, fana. You know? At any given moment, you think yourself to be absolutely hopeless, absolutely useless, nothing you are. Your ill, your beauty, your strength, your goodness, don't ever consider it to be anything significant. You think to yourself that you're just the reflection of ilm of Allah Ta'ala, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, the power of Allah Ta'ala, you're just the reflection. You might just move it and you're gone. So there's nothing in you. It is His reflection that is enabling you to read, to understand. It is just that reflection of His illness enabling you to do everything what you are doing. And He removes it and you're gone. So the more we can implant this into our system, the more we can think of our helplessness And the more we can have this type of conviction that it is just his reflection. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ وَلَئِنْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. Where do we stand a chance? Allah Pak speaks about Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu's knowledge was the greatest. Compared to the entire creation, it was the greatest that he had been blessed with. But Allah Pak says that if it were our will, we would have taken that away from you as well. We could have taken that away from you. Illa rahmatan min rabbi. It's just the grace of Allah. No, it's not your eligibility. It's not your deservingness, not your eligibility. It is just our grace that we focused our grace towards you. That's why you are what you are. So that frame of mind must be a constant feature, a conviction, a behavior, a pattern in our life. And then look at our failures. That Allah, if you entrust me to myself, فَإِنَّكَ إِن تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ ضَعْفٍ وَضَمِّ وَخَطِيعًا. You will entrust me to failure. You will entrust me to weakness. I will be an absolute failure, Allah. You entrust me to myself. So this must be our constant feature. Right? As far as others are concerned, we don't know. There may be some good in there. And that goodness may just feature some times later in their lives. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb.